96.9 FM, live and local. This is the Morning Primetime Newsmaker.
And today's Newsmaker is brought to you by MRSK Buildings, constructing all kinds of buildings, from shops and garages to equipment storage, livestock facilities, and barn homes. MRSK Buildings, where their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges at 620-340-7732.
Whether you're needing a pole barn, a steel building, a shop, a garage, or any kind of ag building, MRSK Buildings is who you should call. With over 20 years of experience, this family-owned business will meet or exceed your expectations. Stop by and see Jeff or Brady at MRSK Buildings, 2604 West Highway 50 in Emporia, across from Bluestem. MRSK Buildings, our business is your building.
Hey, VOE, we are live and we are local and we are happy that you're with us on this Thursday morning, Leap Day, February 29th, on our way to 55 degrees today. And we're very pleased to be joined on our primetime newsmaker via the KVOE Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line by National Weather Service meteorologist Chad Ometz. Yes, Severe Weather Awareness Week is coming soon. Chad, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Not too bad. It's coming up fast on us, that's for sure. March is around the corner.
Yeah, and once again, March, basically the first full week of March next week, is going to be dedicated to Severe Weather Awareness Week. And, Chad, before we start going into what's going to be taking place on the daily basis, the different highlights that you want to get out here, it really looks like the eastern half of the state, you know, the Topeka coverage area is involved with and really handles. You look at it, and you know there's been already a couple of severe weather episodes that have helped. You know, I think happened elsewhere. There was some talk about maybe a severe weather episode here for this upcoming weekend, but it doesn't look like things are going to play out for that. But it does look like, you know, things are obviously starting to ratchet up here across the area.
Yeah, you know, as we head into March now, the key factor for severe weather for us is getting the Gulf of Mexico moisture up here this far north, and eventually it's going to arrive. And by that, specifically, we're talking about dew points in at least the mid-50s, getting this far north for really provides the fuel for the thunderstorms to develop. That hasn't happened yet, but it will, and it's not going to be long before it does.
Well, before we get to a Severe Weather Awareness Week, Chad, right now the concern happens to be, the dryness and, the extreme fire danger we're dealing with, red flag warnings up today, so certainly, serious situation, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, today I was just looking at how dry it is. Our dew points are in the single digits in some areas, and that's extremely low, even for this area, this time of year. And the winds are going to kick up here after sunrise and probably be anywhere from 20 to 30 miles an hour. Our humidities are going to fall down 10 to 15%, and that's pretty darn low, even for us this time of year. And so the combination of those winds and low humidities are certainly going to combine to make fire weather extremely critical this afternoon and later this morning. So don't burn today. If there's anything going on out there, make sure it's out this morning before this afternoon, because it's going to get a little bit crazy out there this afternoon, certainly with the dry conditions.
Chad, have to ask you here, how much coordination goes between the Topeka and Wichita offices? Because obviously you see the conditions here as hitting certain criteria, and the two counties that we cover, Chase and Greenwood counties that are in Wichita, are not in a red flag warning. So how does the coordination effort, or is
yeah,
there a coordination
you know,
effort going on that?
Today is a really unique day because we've got, we're going to talk about humidities and dew points. The dew points today are actually going to increase from the south-southwest, which is a little bit different than what we're used to. And so by this afternoon, dew points and humidities will actually be coming up across southern Kansas. And so that aspect of the fire weather conditions that we talk about, both wind and humidity levels, they're actually going to see slightly improving conditions this afternoon, at least when it comes to humidity levels. And so today's a little bit different, and what we're used to, where actually humidity levels will be coming up out of the south this afternoon. And so by tonight, across all of the area, humidity levels will be increasing 70, 80, 90% as we go through the night. So conditions are going to improve rapidly after sunset tonight, but it is a sort of a unique situation where the southern parts of Kansas today aren't seeing those conditions, while we up here, because of the low dew points, are going to see those conditions.
That makes perfect sense.
That
actually
makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Thanks for clarifying that for us. We're kind of wondering that this morning, how how that would specifically work. Well, as Chuck mentioned, we have had episodes of severe weather. I think states to the east of us a couple of days ago with a lot of tornadic activity and big-time hail and just kind of an indication of what happens during this time of the year. So what do we need to be doing here first, focusing on Severe Weather Awareness Week? Chad?
Well, you know, it's only going to be a matter of time. I mean, this time of year, another week or two, it could be even later next week, where we finally see the Gulf of Mexico moisture getting up here and setting the stage for severe storms in our neck of the woods. And so this time of year, we want to get everybody to start thinking again in terms of hazards associated with thunderstorms, be it lightning, flooding, tornadoes, so on and so forth. And so next week is going to be dedicated to that and talking about all the different hazards associated with thunderstorms. Obviously we talk a lot about tornadoes, but it's flooding, believe it or not, that takes more lives every year in general across the country and in Kansas than anything else that we talk about. And so each day next week we're going to talk about something different and talk about the risk and how to reduce your risk from thunderstorm-related hazards.
You know, Chad, one of the focuses that your office and the Wichita office have had for, I want to say now, a pretty long-standing period of time has been different ways to get the alerts that you guys generate when it comes to severe weather, whether it's either on the watch or the warning side of things. And that the way it appears is how you're really going to kick off the week with that general preparedness focus.
Yeah, on Monday we're going to talk about putting a plan together, preparedness and awareness. Preparedness means have a plan which looks at where you're going to go, what are you going to do in the event that a watch or a warning's issued, and then practice that plan. That's the importance of putting the plan together, practicing the plan, looking at where you're going to go, what you're going to do in the event that a watch or a warning's issued. Situational awareness, so critical for our own safety, knowing what's possible not only over the next hour in our vicinity, but over the next 6 to 12 hours later in the day. And just having that awareness so that you can, if you have to, change your behavior a little bit so you're not as vulnerable as you might otherwise be with storms developing later in the day. And so we talk Monday about preparedness and awareness. Ways to receive information these days have changed some, certainly in the last 5 to 6 years, with the advent of the wireless emergency alerts that are delivered to all phones now. That's, I think, something that's still relatively new, and people are getting used to that. But it is a new way to receive warning messages on your phone whenever we issue tornado warnings, serious flash flood warnings, or high-end, what we'll call high-end severe thunderstorm warnings for 80-mile-an-hour winds or baseball-sized hail. Those will be delivered to your phones.
Well, and people, obviously, National Weather Service uses weather radios, obviously, are still impactful for people. But with the advent of cell phones on top of that, really two good ways to do that. We encourage people to have a weather radio and have it programmed to the proper frequency here. And once you hear activity, to tune on into KVOE, and then we'll keep you abreast of exactly what is going on. But you need to be able to receive those warnings. And tell you what, Chad, a lot of activity happens late at night and overnight, doesn't it?
Yeah, the peak time for severe weather, severe thunderstorms. Now, tornadoes here, luckily for us, the peak time for tornadoes is late evening, basically 4 p.m. to about 10 or 11 o'clock, and then it drops off quite a bit. But severe thunderstorms, specifically large hail, and sometimes damaging winds, that can linger and actually get more active as we get into that 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. time period. And so all hours of the day for at least severe weather, certain risks anyway, and so it is important to have ways to receive information even when you're sleeping. And so weather radio, the wireless emergency alerts, I can't stress enough as well, what you said, KVOE, your local media. It seems like, and I've talked about this in the past, we're losing that critical component in the local community. Those local radio stations and TV stations are still, I think, the foundation of situational awareness for our communities. And I think, again, stressing the importance of going to KVOE once you get an alert on your phone and find out more information about what's going on. And so all of that plays a role in our safety, sort of a safety net when it comes to severe weather.
Chad Omet, National Weather Service Warning Coordination Meteorologist, our newsmaker guest here today. And then just laying out things here really quickly, Chad, before I ask my question. Preparedness Monday, flood safety Tuesday, tornado safety on Wednesday, hail and wind safety on Thursday, and then lightning safety on Friday. And I bring up the daily focal points here this week because I want to loop back here to the plan side of things. I think there may still be some confusion among some folks about the plan for severe weather for tornadoes specifically versus, say, hail and wind safety or lightning. Flooding is going to be a little bit different because you're out and about. But how has the severe weather plan guidance maybe stayed the same throughout an extended period of time, maybe years or decades? Or what have been some of the more recent, maybe minor but maybe significant tweaks that people should be thinking about right now? Best practices, I guess, would be the term that you'd use.
Well, best practices, I think when it comes to tornadoes, the tried and true advice of getting as low as you can, putting as many walls between you and the outside, that remains the same, and that's not changed at all. Smaller rooms are better. If you can get into a basement, obviously that's best. Get underneath something sturdy, cover up with something heavy. We talk about the importance of helmets. Protecting yourself from blunt force trauma injuries to the head, that's important. Closed-toed shoes, all these things are important. FEMA safe rooms now are becoming more and more common, where people can retrofit them into an existing structure. They can be above ground, they can be below ground. All of these are good ideas, because the greatest danger in a tornado is the blowing and falling debris, and that's what you want to protect yourself from. So the tornado guidance largely has stayed the same. We've added some things as we've learned over the last couple of decades about the greatest danger and things like specifically like helmets, things like that for worst-case scenario, protecting yourself. But by and large, the old advice of getting into a basement, getting as low as you can, putting as many walls between you and the outside, that still rings true today, and it's saved uncountable lives through the decades. As we look at the mortality data, certainly we've continued to go down overall, and yet at the same time, when we have violent tornadoes, and this is the reality, we're going to lose people. When we have violent tornadoes that hit large population centers, we're going to lose some people. Now, what our job is to reduce that as much as we can, to get that number as low as we can, by emphasizing situational awareness, preparedness, and then sheltering options is the other one. And, you know, when I say sheltering options, I worry a lot about the mobile home communities, and whether they have shelters, community shelters, and if they don't, the importance that they have to go somewhere else. If they're in the path of a tornado, you can't stay in a mobile home. That's dangerous. And so we talk a lot about that throughout the week, and we go out and do our preparedness talks. The importance of putting the plan together if you're in a mobile home that looks at going somewhere else, and ideally doing that before the warning's issued, so you have enough time to get where you're going.
Chad Omet, National Weather Service meteorologist. Technology-wise, the Storm Prediction Center do great work, as far as predicting when activity might reach its heights, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 days out even. What about the technology you used at the National Weather Service, Chad? How far has that advanced, say, over the past 5 years?
The technology, at least when it comes to Doppler radar, we continue to improve the information that we can get from Doppler radar, and specifically the tornado debris signature is something that we talk about in our preparedness talks every year when we go out into the public. And essentially it means that even if a tornado is rain-wrapped and nobody can see it, if human beings can't see it with their eyes, if it's happening at night and you just can't see it, Doppler radar, if there's a tornado on the ground doing damage, lofting debris up into the atmosphere, the radar will see that. And now we've been able to use that information to better communicate risk and sort of what's happening. We know that when a tornado is on the ground doing damage, we can see it. And so there are times where we can convey that to the public, to the media, to you, and you can relay that information that it's nighttime, but radar is showing that there's a tornado on the ground doing damage, and that helps to facilitate the sheltering process when it comes to the general public.
You'd mentioned really quickly, Chad, and our time is starting to run short here, but the spotter training sessions are right now underway, and I think actually our first one is going to be Greenwood County here next week in our area. What's going to be similar, what's going to be different maybe, or just maybe adjusted here from past spotter training sessions here for the community that wants this information?
You know, what we've tried to do and what this year's show is going to be is a little bit more radar information, and it's not complicated. We try to explain it in basic terms, and we're adding more radar along with the cloud structures, more examples of the cloud features of severe storms, and then the associated radar reflectivity signature as well. And the reason we're doing that is because radar applications and radar information has become so common now, and it is so important for situational awareness for everybody, where you can have radar on your phone. You should have a source of radar on your phone for your own awareness of what's going on. And so we've added additional information about radar and what to look for when it comes to severe storms on just basic information with regard to radar this year than years past.
Again, Severe Weather Awareness Week, all next week starting Monday. Chad, really appreciate your time with us, and looking forward to helping the community get through these severe weather situations as they unfold here this season.
Yeah, we appreciate everything you guys do. I tell
Likewise.
You what, it's invaluable for our community for you guys to be out there.
Chad, thanks. We appreciate it,
Chad.
All right, see you.
Yep, National Weather Service meteorologist Chad Omit. So we will have our... spotter training information from the Weather Service coming up, I think, in Emporia State, correct?
Yes, that'll be at the Preston Family Room, and I'm pulling that up now, but I believe that is going to be March 20th. Let me go ahead and just double-check on that to make sure. Spotter training sessions here for Emporia. Actually, I'm off of week. It'll be March 27th. Again, the Emporia State Preston Family Room. That'll be at 7 o'clock for those of you here in Lyon County that want to attend that. March 4th will be the date for Eureka. That'll be at the High School Auditorium at 6:30. March 25th for Chase County residents, the community center, that's a 6:30 start time. The March 20th date, actually, for those of you in Coffee County, the 4-H building in Burlington, that's a 7 o'clock start time as well. Quickly here for the Newsmaker segment tomorrow, Kayla Mott, Kat Dorcas joining us, which means an Emporia First Friday preview.
And, of course, tomorrow night is the big Emporia David Trailer Zoo EFAS
Roundup
Auction, the Roundup Auction out of the Anderson Building. It is a sellout. And I'll tell you what, they delivered my auction book up to the office here the other day. I think I may need to acquire a pack mule.
Hey, maybe you can get one of those animals over at the zoo to do that for you.
I guess. All right, our newsmaker brought to you this morning by MRSK Buildings, where their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges today, 620-340-7732. That's 340-7732. MRSK Buildings, 736, sunny, 26 degrees. Stay tuned. We'll check the weather next.
Invest in high-quality ag land in Lyon and Coffee County to the Barrett Family Land Auction. The auction is tonight at 6 p.m. at the Opie Chicken House.